Today is Father's Day, and dads, I hope you got a homemade donut on your way in. I'll just tell you this, if you had a powdered sugar one, it's telling. I finished eating my powdered sugar one, and I thought it was all clear, and I looked down, it was all down my shirt and all down my pants. I thought I had that all brushed off. I looked down, it was all over my shoe. I thought that was all off, and my daughter came by and said, "It's on your lip." I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't hide this at all. But hopefully you got a donut on your way in, and if you're not a dad and you got a donut anyway, I say more power to you. Hopefully you got through and got some as well. For all the dads and all the granddads who are here today, and those who maybe aren't dads but have filled a fatherly role for others, I just want to tell you how grateful we are for you, how much we appreciate you and what you do as a dad and how important you are. I want you to know that your role really, really matters. There are studies, many studies that have been done and been conducted that point to the vital role of dads in the life of kids as they're being raised. And so many young people's confusion over their identity and their self-worth, it comes from whether or not they have felt loved by their dads and whether they have had their dads contributing to them as they grow up. Dads, we need to be very careful to not let our careers and not let our busyness distract us from pouring into our kids and into our grandkids. So hear me, fathers and grandfathers who might be in this room or who might be watching at home, you matter. You really matter. And be all in with your kids and your grandkids and give them the attention that they're starving for. Now, that being said, today's message isn't going to be a direct Father's Day message. However, it's going to be extremely important for fathers to pay attention to this one and to take note of our subject for today, because as dads, where much responsibility is given, much responsibility is expected. And we have a great deal of responsibility with today's theme. We're in a message series this summer looking at power themes, some of the major themes of Scripture of the Bible. And today we're looking at a major theme of the Bible that is blessings. And although this isn't, like I said, a specific message to dads today, I do want to stop here at the beginning and give some specific attention to dads in the start on this subject. Dads, one of the greatest gifts that you can give to your kids is to always be a blessing to them and never be a curse to them. Always be a blessing and never be a curse. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, there are a lot of dads in this world who miss it. They miss their impact that I was just talking about a moment ago. And I don't know how many people through the years have talked to me about their time with their dads, where their dads have been absent, either physically, emotionally, or spiritually, or all three, or where they've been abusive, either physically, emotionally, or spiritually, or all three, or they didn't give or express love, or they tore down instead of built up. These dads have become a curse to their kids. Now, I've also heard many people come to me over the years who tell me how great their dads are, that there were dads who would listen, and dads who would love, and dads who were active and who are present, dads who would build up and encourage. And listen, these dads, they're a blessing to their kids. We bless our kids by learning all that we can learn about the Heavenly Father and then trying to emulate him to our kids to the best of our God-given ability. Through biblical history, we also see where fathers place a special blessing of the Lord over their children. It was very important in Bible times for kids to receive the blessing of their father before their father would pass away. In Genesis 27, we see Jacob steal the blessing of his father Isaac from his older brother Esau, while Isaac was on his deathbed, blind and unable to recognize his kids. He gave a blessing to Jacob that was meant for Esau. It was really important they get the blessing. Praying prayers of blessing over our kids is very important, dads and granddads, as we walk through life, but also as they reach landmarks in life, like coming to Christ and getting baptized and graduations and going off to college or to a career or getting married and so on and so on. And that's a message for me as much as it is for you today, because I realize that I've also often not remembered to do this. But dads, we should put our hands on our kids. Put our hands on our kids and ask the Lord to bless them in any of the major endeavors of their life. and just day-to-day throughout their lives. Biblically, there's just something to the blessing of the father over their kids. There's just something to that. And so we need to be doing that. So today's power theme should be a notable one for dads, but this isn't a message specifically for dads at all. It's a message for all of us, but dads, please take note. Granddads, take note. And before we get into the message on blessings, I just want to say a prayer of blessing over all the dads and the grandfathers and those at home who are watching. Just a prayer of blessing over you, and then we'll get into our power theme of blessing. But let's pray over the dads and grandfathers. Dear God, I do ask your blessing over every father who's in this room or watching at home. Every grandfather who's in this room or watching at home, every man who's watching at home or in this room who is playing a fatherly role to somebody else. Lord, what I pray is a blessing of, Lord, teaching us to emulate you, Heavenly Father. God, help us to be willing to surrender ourselves to you, to sacrifice ourselves in a way so that it's no longer about us and ourselves, but we can see Jesus face to face and our kids can see Jesus face to face through us. Bless the dads and the fathers, Lord, in this place and at home. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, friends, the words bless, blessed, blessing, they're all over the Bible, all over the Bible. And there are way more blessings from God than what we know. We're actually blessed beyond measure and beyond our comprehension. And yet so often we walk with our heads in the clouds, barely acknowledging the blessing of the author of blessings, barely honoring God for it and thanking him. I learned very quickly in my brief study of blessings in the Bible that this has a whole lot to say about it. And for today, we're going to focus on really three questions, answering three questions to guide us. One is, what does God bless? The second is, how does God bless? And the third is, who does God bless? So we're going to tackle those three questions. Now, if you happen to have a copy of the bulletin with the outline on the back, you may look at that and say, this looks pretty ominous. We're going to be here all day long. Now, no father would want me to do that on Father's Day. So we're not going to be here all day long. I just want you to know we're going to move through it pretty quickly today. But I encourage you, if you have it, to use it. Take a pen from the seat in front of you. Fill it in. It's going to help you to follow along as we go because we're going to cover a whole lot of stuff at a quicker pace. So let's begin first by looking at the question, what does God bless? First, friends, God blesses his creation. He blesses his creation. As busy as we may get in life, we still notice nature, don't we? At least at times. I mean, I guess sometimes we miss it. And if you're missing it all the time, if you're missing the blessing of all that God's created around you all the time, then you need to slow down and like the old saying says, stop and smell the roses some of the time. Notice God's blessing all around you through his creation. A beautiful blue sky with big billowy white clouds. That's how it was yesterday. It was gorgeous. The beauty of a sunset, the green grass, the flowers and the trees. Then there's the flash of lightning followed by the boom of thunder, or the sky full of stars, or a night with a full moon in the sky. How about the warmth of the sun, especially when it's cooler or cold outside, feeling that warmth on you when it's so needed. And speaking of the cold, what about a fresh blanket of white snow or the ice that freezes into the trees? We've not even touched on animal life or the beauty found in the depths of the sea. There's the intricate detail of God's most prized creation, you and me, human beings. Friends, we could go on and on and on. We could spend a whole message just thanking God for the blessing of his creation all around us. But for today, let's simply make sure that we stop and we give credence to the fact that God created. And then he poured his blessing all over his creation, and he continues to do so. I mean, just listen and take it in as God's blessing in as I read to you some of the creation account found in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 25. Now, this is kind of a larger reading. If it helps you to close your eyes and listen, do that, but don't fall asleep. if it helps you to follow on the screen, do that, but just hear it. I just thought I was going to use a portion of this, and I felt like God was saying to me, sometimes we need to read this section out loud. We need to hear this story out loud of how God created. So listen as I read it to you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together, he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The plants brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and the trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be lights in the expanse. Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens, and to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts on the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed creation. God blessed us with creation, the nature that's all around us. The second, God blesses humanity. What does God bless? Humanity. We could just include humanity into the blessing of creation, couldn't we? But God makes us for distinct reason and purpose, and so it's important to mention humanity separately. Listen as the creation account continues with verses 26 through 31. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image after our likeness.'" Friends, from the beginning, we were blessed as being different from the rest of creation. We were actually made in God's image. "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." From the beginning, friends, we were given dominion, responsibility over all of the rest of God's creation. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, heaven, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth and every tree with the seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and every bird of the heavens and everything in the that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Friends, our existence is only because of the blessing of God. The fact that we're even here is only because of the blessing of God. And our continued existence, our day and day, waking up and breathing another day, is only because of the blessing of God. Third thing God blesses. God blesses people who fear him, who fear him. And in this case, fear means more revere than it means to be afraid of. However, when we understand the awesome being of God, just looking at the creation story, when we understand the awesome being of God, if we aren't known to him through the work of his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, there ought to be some level of scare with that fear as well. His being is all-knowing, it's all-powerful, it's all-present, it's all-loving, it's all-just, it's all-righteous, it's all-expansive, and so much more. We can't even adequately get a handle on the awesomeness of God at all, and it should bring us to a fear of God that's shown in absolute reverence to him. And those who fear God in this way, it tells us, are greatly blessed. Greatly blessed. Hear these words of blessing. These are the words that God said over his chosen in Israel. But understand, as Christians, we are now also his chosen. And it says this in Deuteronomy 28:7-14. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee in seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all that you undertake, and he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground within the land the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you shall not, and you shall only go up and not down if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Friends, when we fear the Lord, when we stay with the Lord blesses us. The Lord blesses us. What else does God bless? God blesses nations who make him their Lord. Whole nations who make them their Lord. I'm sure that many of you have heard people say that America is the most blessed nation in the world. We've heard that. We've said that, right? And you know what? I believe that's probably true. Much truer than many of us know. But do you know why? Do you know why? It's because America truly was founded under God. It truly was. And for most of our existence as a nation, in general, those in America have revered God. They have. God used to be welcome in our schools and in our government and in our sporting events, in our homes and in our churches. But things have changed and are changing in America. There are attempts to remove God from all of the places that I just noted. And as if it's possible for humans to remove God, right? As if that's even possible. However, when people turn their faces against God, God does release them to their own sinful desires. And when people have decided they know better than God, they think they know better, or that they don't need, or that they don't want God, well, God's a gentleman. And he will allow you and me the free will to go to whatever end that leads us without him, if that's our choice, until we cry out to him again. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage." As his heritage. America has been the most blessed nation in our time, because we were a nation whose God is the Lord. But if we continue to no longer live with God as our Lord in our lives, the blessing should not be expected to continue. It should not be expected. However, friends, there is hope. The church, which is the people of God, are still very much alive in America. And it will take more than others trying to remove God or to erase him in this country for us to stop proclaiming Jesus, right? It will take a lot more than that. I just heard this week that Governor DeSantis of Florida, is that the right name, Ron? Is it Rich? What's his name? Is it Ron? Is that right? For some reason, I had Rich in my head. But Ron DeSantis of Florida signed a bill bringing back a minute for a moment of silence in public schools so that students can choose to pray in the first period of their day. That's incredible to know that that's happened. We as the church need to be praying and inviting God to be the Lord of our nation and the Lord of our lives. That's what we need to be praying for. So friends, we've looked at what God blesses. Now let's look at how God blesses. And there are several things that the Bible tells us of how God blesses, and we'll go through these quickly. First of all, God blesses you with peace and prospering. Peace and prospering. Hear these words from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 25 through 27. It says, I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Why don't the animals overtake us in this world? Because of God's blessing. Because God set it up so that that doesn't happen. That's why that happens. He has made us secure in the wilderness and to sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will send down the showers in their seasons. They shall be showers of blessing. And the trees of the field shall yield the fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who have enslaved them. Now, friends, take that in for a moment. Take that in for a moment. God wants to give you a covenant of peace. He wants to shower you with blessing. He wants to provide for every one of your needs. He wants to break the bars of any yoke that holds you, to deliver you from anything that enslaves you. Now, it's true that the context of this passage, in it, God's speaking to his chosen people, Israel. But understand, with the death and the resurrection of Jesus, all who are saved of their sins through Jesus are now part of the chosen. And that makes these words, that makes this promise and this covenant of peace applicable to you and to me. What a blessing. What a blessing. Some of you need to hear this today. Some of you need this peace today. Some of you need this provision today. And God wants to provide this to you. So surrender to him. You don't need to go another day being enslaved. Not enslaved another day to anything. God wants to free you. He wants to bless you by breaking the yoke of that which enslaves you. Second, how does God bless? God blesses you with a shield of favor. A shield of favor. Do you remember being in school and the teachers having favorites? Look, everybody knows the teachers have favorites. We all know that. And what happens with the teachers' favorites? They get treated kinder. They get to do more of the fun things in class. They sometimes, as unethical as it may be, they get better grades whether they've earned them or not. We've all seen those things happen. How about in the workplace? Have you ever worked in a place where managers have favorites? Everyone knows who the favorites are at work when the managers have favorites. How do we know? They get the better hours, they get the better schedules, they get the raises more easily, the promotions more easily, they don't get yelled at like others do, they do everything right, right? Okay, now we have to acknowledge that sometimes the teacher's favorite, sometimes the manager's favorite have earned that place in some way. We have to acknowledge that when students have good manners, when they work hard at their classes, when they behave well, they do what they're supposed to, they're usually going to get rewarded for that. When employees are always on time and they work their jobs well, they work hard, and they work their whole shift without grumbling or doing other things, sometimes they're going to get rewarded for that. However, we also know that sometimes favorites haven't earned their place at all, not at all. Now, here's the point that I'm getting to, all right? Here's what I'm getting to. With God, he simply blesses favor of those who believe in Jesus. He just does it. You're just blessed with favor as people who believe in Jesus. You're already a favorite of God's, not because you do or you don't deserve it. Nobody's more favored than another. He just blesses you because you're in Jesus, not because you've earned it. God simply favors you because he favors Jesus, and he now sees you through the lens of Jesus. That's how he sees you. So just because of Jesus, you and I are already blessed by God. There's nothing you could ever do to make him love you more, nothing you could ever do to make him less, but he pours favor on those who've loved him back, who have embraced Jesus. It just happens. You have the shield of favor that goes over you. Psalm chapter 5, verse 12 says, "For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. Well, friends, none of us are righteous, right? None of us are not on our own. Righteous means right with. It means being right with God. And none of us are right with God on our own. But Jesus, you see, Jesus makes us right before God. And through Jesus, every one of us has our sins forgiven. And we are righteous because of Jesus. And God favors that. He covers us with the shield of favor. Thank you, Jesus, right? Thank you, Jesus. Third, God blesses you with forgiveness for your sins. We kind of already been talking about that one. Well, do you understand the blessing that forgiveness is to you? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. See how this goes hand in glove? How that goes hand in glove with what we just got done talking about of being blessed with favor? We're blessed with favor because we've been blessed with forgiveness. Because we've been blessed with forgiveness. And this blessing of forgiveness of our sins does more than forgive. It chucks those sins away. God doesn't even see them anymore. You may rehearse them in your mind. You may beat yourself up with them. The devil may try to make you feel guilty over them. But God does none of those things. He blesses you with a forgiveness that forgets. Psalm 103, 11 and 12 say, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. That's amazing. How else does God bless? Fourth, God blesses you with salvation. Listen, if you have any hope in heaven at all, it's because of Jesus. It's because God's blessing you with his salvation. You don't earn it at all. It's entirely a blessing of Jesus. Romans 10, 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Favor, forgiveness, salvation, they're all undeserved blessings through Jesus. Number five, God blesses you with the forever joy of his presence. Psalm 21:6 says, for you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. This verse is talking about David and his blessing with God, but it also speaks to those who are walking with Jesus. This is one of my favorite blessings that comes with walking with Jesus. I mean, yes, I'm really, really glad that I'm favored, that I'm forgiven, that I'm saved. Of course I am. Really glad, but having God's presence with me, it's matchless for me. Being in the presence of God, we get to walk with God. We need face nothing alone or by ourselves. That should make us really, really glad. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I know that most of us have heard that verse before, but let that sink in. Let it sink in. God's with you. God's with you. God's with you. He's with you. What a blessing that is. What a blessing. Thank you, God. Sixth, God blesses you with strength. Psalm 29:11 says, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Now, I just have sensed as I was preparing this week that some of you might need to hear this right now. That's what I've sensed. You need to hear this because you're not feeling very strong right now. Whatever you're going through has got you down, and you're beginning to question your own strength to be able to endure. You're not sure you're going to get through this challenge, this situation, this circumstance, the life that you're dragging through right now. You're feeling like quitting. Whatever quitting might look like to you, friends, right now. Friends, if that's you, hear me. If that's you, then listen to me closely. Listen to me closely. That's the devil lying to you in first person. Or it's you giving into your own self-doubt, which the devil helps to put there. How do I know that? Because it says to us right here in the scriptures, the Lord gives strength to his people and blesses them with peace. He gives strength to his people and blesses them with peace. As a believer in Jesus, you have this inner strength. You don't even have, it doesn't even coming from you. It's not even your strength. You've simply been blessed by God, and you can get through. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop. And there may be even some of you, I'm just going to say it, some of you are considering ending your life. I'm just going to say it because you know what? It needs to be said sometimes. And I feel like the Holy Spirit was leading me to say that this week. And if you've had an inkling of that idea, you lean in and you hear me very closely. Lean in and listen. No. No, don't you give into that doubt of the strength that you have and that is in you and through you. You are loved. You are cherished. You have great purpose. The world is a better place because of you. God's not done with you, and he never leads you to do such a thing. He favors you. He forgives you. He will give you the strength. Turn to him and turn to those who know and love them to help give you strength through it. Seventh, God blesses you by being your shepherd. By being your shepherd, Psalm 28:9 says, oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. What does a shepherd do? What does a shepherd do? He risks all to care for, provide for, and to lead his flock. He'll do whatever it takes, whatever he has to do to care for his flock. He makes his sheep so accustomed to his voice that when they hear his voice, they know it's him. And when he speaks, they follow him. He leads them. And this tells us that it's Jesus who's our shepherd. And we're his sheep. And that's a blessing. That's a great blessing. So friends, we've looked at what God blesses. We looked at how God blesses. Now let's talk about who God blesses. And this is another big list, but we're going to fly through it pretty quickly. It's pretty self-explanatory, so this will work. Here's the first. Who does God bless? God blesses those who avoid sin. He blesses you when you avoid sin. Listen, friends, every one of us is tempted to sin. And we're going to continue to be tempted to sin until we are walking with Jesus in heaven someday. That's just how life goes. We're going to be tempted. But hear me, being tempted to sin isn't sin. Being tempted isn't the sin. It's okay to be tempted. It's what we do with that tempted when we're drawn away by our desire in that sin, and then we act on that sin, that temptation, act on that temptation, and when it turns to action, that's when it becomes sin. Not just because you're being tempted. You do, through the empowerment of Holy Spirit in you, have the strength and the ability to say no to sin. And I want you to know that every time, hear me, every time that you say no to sin, even if you've said yes a dozen other times, every time you say no to sin, you're going to be blessed by that. You'll be blessed by that right choice. Every time, God will bless you. Part of that blessing is you don't have that guilt that pours all over you when you say yes to the temptation. That's part of it, but the greatest blessing is that it leaves you blameless, and that draws you closer to the heart of God, which is where we want to be. Psalm 119, 1 through 3 says, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek with him all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You're blessed every time that you say no to sin. Every time that you avoid the sinful temptation, the tempting situation. You don't go where you know you're going to be tempted. You don't go on the place on your phone or your iPad or your computer where you know you're going to be tempted. You don't go with a crowd of people that you know where you're going to be tempted. You're blessed every time you avoid it. Every time you say no to it, and you stay blameless before God. But listen, we know that we all are going to give in to sin sometimes, right? Into temptation. We all know that we're still going to keep blowing it at times in our life. We're not going to stay blameless. And that's why God offers forgiveness. So get this, number two, who does God bless? God blesses those who seek and receive forgiveness. He blesses you if you avoid the sin and you stay blameless. That's a whole nother blessing. But there's also a different blessing for those who, once you've blown it, you seek forgiveness for that. Romans chapter 4, 7 and 8 says, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord never counts against them. So you don't have to stay in the guilt that you feel when you blow it. You can be forgiven, and that guilt can be taken from you. You don't want to make your God's blessing seem so cheap that you're just continuing to go back to what you already know is wrong because you know you can be forgiven again, so I'll keep going back. It doesn't work that way. You want to get to the place that by the power of Holy Spirit where you have the blessing of saying no. You get that first blessing of saying no. That's the blessing I want to go after, not just this blessing to be forgiven. God will bless you for repenting. That means turning from your way and going his way and seeking forgiveness. Third, who does God bless? God blesses those who trust and obey him. The truth is that most of us miss blessings from God every day in our lives because we don't trust him enough to obey him. We don't trust him enough to tell a friend or a neighbor about Jesus. We don't trust him enough to give when he's telling us to give a tithe, to give 10% of what we earn. We don't trust him enough to pursue callings that he places on our lives. When you and I don't trust God, we don't obey God, we miss his blessings. We miss his blessings. Sometimes we give a half obedience or a slow obedience to God. I would tell my kids sometimes when they were growing up, I would say, slow obedience is no obedience. Slow obedience is no obedience. And who ultimately gets robbed when you're slow to obey God? Not God. You get robbed. I get robbed of blessing when I'm slow to obey him. Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, he replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Who hear the word of God and obey it. That's who's blessed. When you really learn this, how blessed you'll be when you trust and obey God, you get so that that's just, it's all you want to do. It's all you want to do. I've been blessed so many times, God. All I want to do, I just want to be in step with you. I just want to be in your will. I want to hear you. I want to do what you're telling me to do because that is the most blessed I am in my whole life. Fourth, who does God bless? God blesses those who show concern for the weak. Psalm 41:1 says, blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble. Do you know what's so beautiful, what's so revolutionary about this verse, about this truth? The world just crushes the weak, right? The world just stomps on the weak. This is so countercultural. Build up the weak, lift up the weak, show regard for the weak, and you're going to be blessed by that. God will deliver you when you get in your times of trouble because you have blessed the weak. The last four of these that we're going to talk about today, and there are a lot more we could have talked about, but the last four we're going to talk about are all God's blessings for when things are tough, when things are difficult. These are some of the things that when you're facing hard times, where God's blessing you, the times where it's not simple. So the fifth is this, God blesses those who he disciplines. Discipline. Psalm 94:12 says, blessed is the one you discipline, Lord, the one you teach from your law. Most people don't like being disciplined for something, right? They don't see discipline as a blessing, but realize when you're out of the will of God and his discipline puts you back into the will of God, that's a blessing. And that's going to lead to one blessing after another. There's also the form of discipline that makes someone stronger. When you discipline your body to work out, when you discipline your mind to study, when you discipline your practice of an instrument to become better at playing it. God sometimes leads us through things that are set before us that make us stronger in him. And we'll see that as a blessing when we're honed in to stand with him in all of his teaching. Number six, God blesses those who wait for him. And that can be like discipline. It can take discipline to wait on God. We want God to act in our time and in our way. We want his answers. We want his answers right now, right when we're ready for it. But God's will, God's way, God's timing is perfect. It's perfect. And when we wait on him, when we wait on him for his perfect time, his perfect way, his perfect will, you're going to be blessed by that. You're going to be blessed in the waiting. If we rush to try to get ahead of him, we get out of the step with the Spirit because we don't want to wait on him, we're going to regret that because we're going to miss real blessing. Waiting on the Lord blesses you. It says in Isaiah 30:18, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait on him. This is God's promise to us, friends. It's God's promise. Seven, God blesses those who remain steadfast under trial. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Remaining steadfast is staying locked into Jesus. I'm locked into Jesus no matter what you face, no matter what trial happens, no matter what bashes up against you, you're locked into Jesus. It makes me think of a lighthouse in a storm where the waves and the wind are just relentlessly crashing up against both sides of the lighthouse. The lightning's going, the thunder's crashing, but eventually the storm subsides. Eventually, the storm leaves, and after the storm, that lighthouse is still standing there, and the now peaceful waters around it. Life's hard. Life's hard, and waves crash, but be steadfast in your trials. And when that storm comes, and it will come, when it comes, there's going to be a crown of life waiting for you. A crown of life waiting for you. God's promised it. And finally, eight. God blesses those who die in the Lord, who die in the Lord. Friends, sometimes there are storms that take us out. They take us out. We're not promised forever in this life. We're promised forever in the next one, in the next one. If you die, no matter how you die, if you die standing in for and with the Lord, your next step is going to be nothing but a tremendous blessing. Sometimes we don't understand why we lose some people. We just don't get it. Why they're taken out. If we're standing in the Lord, that next place is nothing more than a tremendous blessing beyond anything we can see on this earth. Revelation 4:13, this is a verse I share often at funerals, particularly for believers. it says this, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." Their deeds follow them. Did you think that the power theme of blessings was going to be such a big topic? Well, it is. God's word is filled with blessings. It's filled with blessings. It's filled with it. And God is such a giver of great blessings. And if that's the case, then why wouldn't we want to give our whole lives to him? Why wouldn't we want to love and serve him with our whole lives forever? Why wouldn't we want to thank him for his blessings? Friends, let's close today with a prayer of thanksgiving for God, for the blessings of God in all of our times, the joyful and the joyless, the good and the bad, the well times and the not so well. And then what I'm going to do after we give a prayer of thanksgiving is I'm going to close with a prayer blessing over all of you, both here and those at home, from Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. It's a priestly blessing I'm going to pray over you. But let's start first by thanking God for his blessings. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you. If we're going to call it Father's Day, it should be the Holy Father's Day, your day, God, because you are the God of all good things. You are the God who pours down, who showers blessings on your people. When we don't deserve it, you keep showering down blessings. When we're unfaithful, you shower blessings. You're there ready to be faithful with us. When we disregard you, when we don't acknowledge you, when we walk through a beautiful day and don't even look up and don't even look around, you're sure still showering blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing on us. And we thank you, the giver of all good things. And dear Lord God, Holy Spirit and Jesus, thank you so much. And now I pray this prayer of blessing over your people in this room and those at home, written in Numbers chapter 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Friends, sometimes the blessings don't come in all the ways we expect. Sometimes the blessings come through hard things. Sometimes they come through good. I want you just to listen to this song as we close. You're welcome to sing if you would like, but mostly just soak it in. Soak it in as we are thankful to God for his blessings in our lives. Some of us here today only need to hear this of the whole long outline. All you need to hear is that God's blessing you. You ever been caught in a downpour? Had a couple in the last few days, but you ever been outside and it's caught and it's pouring down on you so hard, it's running down your face, it's soaking your clothes, it's soaking your hair, and you can't do anything about it, so you might as well just stand there. There's no way you can get out of it in time. It's just pouring so hard. That's what God's doing to us all the time. He's pouring blessing over us all the time in our life. Even when we don't acknowledge him, even when we don't acknowledge it, he's pouring that down on us all the time. Some of us, that probably needs to take us down to our knees or onto our faces. God's so good. Never will he leave you. Never will he forsake you. Never will he stop pouring his blessing on you. Go in the blessing of our God.